Good morning again, church. As it has been said already, we had a VBS's last week, followed up with a big carnival yesterday. I had some pictures I wanted to post up here, but, well, wow, okay, there you go. There's some of our pictures. If you weren't able to participate, you missed a great time. I think we'll do it again next year, so definitely sign up and be a part of it. There was one picture in particular, because during the carnival, they had, you know, like the mechanical bulls that you could ride on and fall off. They had something like that, but it was a surfboard. You could stand on it and move. And in this picture of Jim, if you want to see it, I got it in my phone. Come find me after the service. I mean, he's falling off. His tongue is sticking out. It's a great picture. I wish we had that one up here. But we had a good time and even survived the hot weather. So thank you to everyone that participated, helped out. I think it was a great success. So we're going to be in the book of Matthew this morning. Chapters 5 through 7. We'll be flipping our way through those few chapters, so you can go ahead and open up your Bible and get ready. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, He brought them to Mount Sinai, and He gave them 10 commandments, and then a whole lot more, right? He has the 10 commandments that are written on stone, but they end up having over 600 laws that is about, you know, hey, this is how I want you to function. This is how I want you to operate as a nation. This is how I want you to interact with me. And this is how I want you to interact with each other. Follow these. And if you do all these, things will go well for you as a nation. You'll be blessed. You'll have all the food you need. You'll have rains when you need rains. Your crops will grow. You'll have protection from the enemy, from the nations around you. Everything will go well for you if you do these things. If you don't do these things, it's going to go bad for you. You know, I'm the author of life. This is how I think you should live. You ought to listen to my advice, right? If you don't live this way, you're going to be cursed. You're not going to have rain. The nations around you will overpower you. You won't have what you need. Right? Things will go bad for you. Simple choice. And of course, you know, they followed it for a while and things were well for them until they didn't follow God's rules for them to live, and things went very poorly for them. And you can read on through the rest of the Old Testament to see how that goes. Jesus is asked by a scholar at one time in his life, what's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus tells him not only the greatest commandment, but the second greatest as well. And you know them very well. The first greatest commandment is love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. Love the Lord your God. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. He says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. He said something very similar to that in Matthew. You remember in the book of Matthew, early in Jesus's ministry, he's surrounded by a group of people and he goes up on a hillside. All right. And he starts to preach to the people. He starts to teach them. And we get what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to kind of flip through there a little bit. But I want to skip ahead towards the end of that Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says in chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 12, "And everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Do to others what you would have them do to you." We know this as the golden rule, right? Do to others what you would have them do to you. Very simple. We say it all the time. We don't do it all the time, but we say it. We understand it. We know it. But Jesus says this sums up the law and the prophets. Over 600 laws that they have. Right? The writings of the prophets and what they told the nation of how to turn back to God and what He expects and how to live. Jesus says, do to others what you want them to do to you. That pretty much sums it up. You're not getting all 600, right? Let's try this one. Do to others what you want them to do to you. Well, that guy over there, he's treating me poorly. Well, what do you want him to do to you? Well, I want him to forgive me, to tell me that he was wrong. Okay, you do it to him. Real simple, right? Whatever you want others to do to you, you instead do that to them. If you do that, you got it. Pretty simple, right? Until it's you. We want them to do to us what, you know, we want them to do, but we're supposed to go and do to them what we would have them do to us. That's what Jesus says. And he follows that up with verse 13. He says, enter through the narrow gate. Now, remember, this is coming after teachings that he was giving them that really would have rocked their world. And it should still rock our world today if we're not following them. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that. Many people are taking a wide road, an easy road that is taking them to destruction. It's so easy for us to think that that road is being traveled by other people not named me, right? But if he's saying there are many people on there, well, that statistically would mean that might be me. I really need to check myself. I really need to go back and look at what he said. Wide is the gate, broad's the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few are going to find it. Only a few are going to go down this road. I just gave you the map. I just told you about it. Only a few are going to find it. Can you imagine? He's talking to who knows how many people on this mountainside. And he's telling them these amazing teachings that we're going to look at again here in a minute, right? He's telling them all this. And he's got to be thinking. And then he vocalizes, most of y'all aren't going to get it. Right? Yeah, you're hearing what I'm saying. You're here with me. You're going to see the miracles. But most of y'all probably aren't going to do this because that's just the way it is, right? Only a few are going to do it. And he follows with this, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. There's going to be others that are going to come tell you things. And they're going to look really good. You might think they are prophets, but they're not, right? They're going to look like it in many ways. But they're going to come to you looking like sheep, but inside they're really ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. How do you know if someone's telling you something, words that you should live by or not? Jesus says, look at their fruit. Look at their fruit. What's their fruit? How many followers they have? I don't think so. Their fruit is, do they follow chapter 5 through 7? Do they follow and do what Jesus said to do? If they're living that way, yeah, I think you can listen to that person. Not if they're teaching that, but if they are living that. Again, we'll go back and look at that here in a minute. He says, verse 17, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. If someone is living this way, they are a good tree. You can listen to them. If they are not living this way, don't listen to them. Don't follow them. They're false, he says. In this day and age, it's very easy to find someone, you know, whether it be on television or online, that's going to talk to you about the Bible. There are some good folks out there doing that. There are some out there who are not. How do you know? Jesus says, look at their fruit. The fruit is not how many likes they have or how many subscribers they have. Their fruit is in how are they living. Are they living the words of Jesus? Now, I think I can take that and apply that to myself also. Not me just personally as someone who gets up as a minister, but all of us can do that. Because he says every tree, Jesus goes on to say, every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down. What's good fruit again? Doing what Jesus did. Living the way Jesus said to live. What is it? We'll go back and look at it in a minute. Look at what he says in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone's going to, right? He's already said the road is wide leading to destruction. A lot of folks are on that. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. There will be folks on that wide road who call out to Jesus, who say, Lord. He says, then they're not getting into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do what? The will of my Father. Only those who do unto others as they would have do to them. Only those who did these things I just told all of y'all here on the hillside today. Those are the ones who are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not those who are just saying, Lord, Lord. This is not works. Hear this. This is not you're earning your salvation. By doing these things, you have earned it. It is showing the fruit of who you really are and what you believe. Do you truly believe Jesus is King? Do you truly believe that He died for you? That you truly believe that His blood saves you? It's shown in how you live. It's as simple as that. You know, I've often heard this, and I believe it to be true, you know, that Jesus sees our heart. And I think He sees our heart. But you know what? I think He can just look at our actions. He doesn't have to only see our heart. On judgment day, you know, I may look all of this certain type of way and Jesus is going to look through all that and he's going to see my heart. I think he could honestly just say, well, Joseph, let's look at what you did, because that shows your heart. Well, you were selfish, you were ungrateful, you were egotistical. You spent your time, you know, benefiting your own life and not others. Man, you know, I don't even have to look at your heart to see you really weren't bearing much good fruit. What's Jesus going to say when he looks at our lives? Because I can say that and hope. Well, you know I'm a good person. Jesus is going to look at my heart. He'll see. Okay. But what Jesus said is those that do the will of his Father in heaven are the ones that are entering the kingdom. So he can look at your heart, but he can also just look at your actions, and that should be enough, right? Many will say to me in verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And even perform miracles? Isn't that enough? Look at the power that we had. Look at what we were able to do. And there are folks today that will claim these things. Casting out demons, performing miracles, right? Doing great works and things. But he's saying, did you do these other things that I said? Did you truly give up of yourself for other people? Did you do to others what you would have them to have done to you? He says, many will say those things, and I'm going to tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. Get away from me. You're an evildoer. You did what was ever in the best interest of you. You didn't care about other people. You're not a part of my kingdom. In this kingdom, you care about others more than yourself. That's how we operate in this kingdom. Simple. And then we get to the scripture that Leon read for us here a minute ago. Everyone who hears these words of mine, let's pause. Let's go look at these words. We'll come back to this. Let's look at these words of mine that Jesus just said. Everyone who hears these words of mine, what words are we talking about here? Well, flip back a couple chapters, if you will, to chapter 5. And we're not going to go through all of these. You should go back later and look at them. He starts off, right? In verse 1, he saw the crowds. He went up on a mountainside and sat down. The disciples come up to him. There's people all around. He starts to teach them, and he starts off this way. Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I got a great joke for you as we get started here today. You know, that's how we ministers sometimes do, right? Or let me tell this story that I'm going to tie in later, right? Let me show some pictures of the VBS we had last week. He didn't start out that way. What he said are, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. You're blessed when people insult you, when they falsely say all kinds of things against you, when they persecute you. You're blessed. That's how he starts off this great sermon. Whatever you think of yourself, that's not what it's going to, what I'm looking for, what your Father's looking for are these things. You're going to be blessed when you're lower, when you're humble, when you put others before yourself, when people treat you poorly because you're following in my footsteps. You're going to be better off if you're in that category. That's how he starts off this sermon. Blessed are you when people insult you. When someone insults me, you know what I want to do? Insult them back. But when I do that, I'm not following the golden rule, am I? Probably following the gilded rule, I guess. What I should do is, well, what do I want that person to do to me? Well, I want them to apologize. Okay, well, go apologize to them. You obviously did something that upset them. They insulted you. Just go apologize. I want them to humble themselves. I want them to recognize. You do it, right? That's what Jesus is saying here. When they insult you, when they persecute you, when they falsely, when they lie about you, you're blessed. Well, this person, you know, I need to make sure that my rights are held up. I need to make sure. Jesus says, okay, you can do that, but you're not going to be blessed. Whatever reward that brings you, that's your reward. Have it. Enjoy it. It's temporary. It won't last forever. And it's not nearly as good as what I want to give you. Do it your way if you want. Choose this mountain over here of curses, Israel. If that's what you want, but this is what you're going to get. Or you can do it my way, Jesus says. He goes on and he says, you're salt of the earth, right? You're salt of the earth. You're those that are going to preserve. You're those that are going to add flavor. You're those that are going to keep. You're the ones that this world needs. But you got to be out there, because if you're not, if you lose that saltiness, if you lose being like me, you're no good anymore. I'm going to get rid of you. I'm going to toss you out. Then he goes on to say, you're a city on a hill. You're a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You're the light. Those following in Jesus' footsteps light up the world. Shine light on truth. Shine light on what's most important. He says, don't cover that light up. Look what he says here in verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds, your good works, serving others, putting other people first, giving up of yourself. Let that be seen, not to lift yourself up, because that's going to help light the world up. Right? But do those things. You got to be doing them. Not just talking about them, not just planning for them, but you must be doing them. Skip down with me to verse 21. Jesus said, you know the law, right? Don't murder. Pretty good law. I'm glad we have it today. But I need you to go a step further. In this kingdom, we don't just not murder. We don't get so angry with people that we're calling them names and bringing out curses on them. We don't do that in this kingdom. Because as soon as you get that angry, that person becomes dead to you anyway. They may be alive, but when you cut them out of your life, you've killed them to yourself. You've broken that relationship. We don't do that in this kingdom. And so when Jesus says, the wise people are the ones that do what I'm teaching you, that actually do it. Well, I need to look at these scriptures here. And I need to realize, are there folks that I have cut out of my life because I'm not happy with them? They've done something that has upset me, and I've cut them off. What would I want that person to do? What would I want that person to do? They need to recognize they were wrong, and they need to come apologize for it. So what would Jesus tell you? Okay, you go do that. You humble yourself, you get meek, you lower yourself, and you go do it, because that's what we do in this kingdom. If you want to keep operating in that other kingdom and doing it that way, go for it. Reap those benefits. Reap those rewards. Reap that inheritance, but you're not getting any of this one, because that's not what we do in this kingdom. You may think your heart is right, but your actions are saying otherwise. Don't be angry with your brother. He says in verse 23, if you're offering your gift at the altar, if you're coming before the Lord trying to bring him something, if you're coming to here on Sunday morning and you want to praise God, you want to give of the offering, you want to sing praises, you want to pray, and you got someone in your life that you have cut out because of anger, Jesus says you need to leave what you're doing there at the altar. You need to leave your gift and you need to go to that brother and reconcile. Don't come here trying to give God praises when you got people in your life that you have cut off. This is what Jesus is saying. If we do this, we will be blessed. We are following the laws of God when we do this. Skip down. Verse 27. Jesus says, don't commit adultery, guys. You're married. Stick to the one that you're married to. Don't go outside that. We like that. We don't follow that too often, it seems, this day and age, even within the church. That doesn't seem to be a big deal anymore. I don't know why, what happened there. But he says, but then he says, I tell you, don't even look at a woman lustfully. And I'm assuming it goes both ways, right? Women, don't look at men lustfully. Don't look at people lustfully in that way, because now you're subjecting them to something else. I didn't create them for that. That's not what you're here for. You need to treat people with respect. You need to honor people, lift them up, not pervert them in your mind, he says. So it's not just about not committing adultery. It's like, don't even allow your mind to go there, right? This is what we do in this kingdom. That's adultery already. We live in a world that it is so difficult, right? From you know, used to be just maybe like pictures in magazines or billboards, you know, they want to advertise with women and these things and commercials on television. But now even on whatever you get on any site, they try to attract you with sexual image and advertisement and, you know, whatever media, social media you get on. It's just there. We're saturated and it's in all of our television shows and in our music. And it's just constant 24/7 to where even the church is so bombarded by it. We kind of just become callous to it. And Jesus is saying, man, the world you live in is saying it's no big deal, but I'm telling you, it's a big deal. Right? It was a big deal as much then as it is today. It hasn't changed. God's law has not changed. How we view other people matters. And when we view them in a perverted way, that's exactly what we're doing. We're perverting God's people, His creation. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. That's as good as committing adultery right there. Right? We must be a people that doesn't give in to that. And then he goes on in teaching that it's so difficult in the church today, especially verse 31. He said, hey, you know the law. If you're going to divorce someone, you need to write them a certificate of divorce so they can get remarried. But I'm telling you, don't divorce them in the first place. Right? Stick with your wife. Stick with your husband. Don't. If someone's already divorced, you guys can't just be doing this. He's saying that's just adultery. Don't do that. And I know this is difficult. There may be people in this room today that have been divorced, and I get it. I'm not saying that, you know, you're going to hell or anything like that, right? But what I'm saying is this doesn't change what Jesus has said. It doesn't change what Jesus has said. He says, don't divorce, right? If anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. And what we have to pay attention to is, what is Jesus telling us here? What is it? Well, do to others what you would have them do to you, right? Imagine if we did that in our marriages. Now, please hear me. If you are divorced, we can talk about this later on actions or things or what to do. And again, I'm not saying it keeping anyone out of heaven. But what I'm saying is we need to develop a heart to be able to humble ourselves, right? To forgive and to make the first step. And I know that is difficult, and I'm not trying to judge or anything like that. So please hear that. But whatever the case may be, let's continually seek to lower ourselves, right? And to do to others what we would have them do to us. But again, it's hard. Those of us that are married, those of us that marriage is hard work, we get it. You have fights. Things happen. What if we take God's law into our marriages? In the same way we do with other relationships, right? What if we take them into our marriage? And I'm having a fight with my wife and she's just not seeing things the right way, you know, my way. What would Jesus say to do? Whatever it is that you want her to do, that's what you ought to do. Well, I want her to see things my way. Okay, well, then see her things your way. Or whatever. See things her way. I can't even say it. See, it's hard. See things her way. Right? And I'm not saying any of that's easy. None of this is easy. It's difficult. But this is how we're called to live in this kingdom. He goes on to say, hey, you don't make these extra special promises that you're going to keep and other ones you just let go. He says, don't lie. Let your yeses be yes and let your noes be no. Right? That's how it is. Some of these teachings so far have been very difficult, right? I get it. They're only going to get harder. Look what he says in verse 38. You've heard that it said eye for eye and tooth for a tooth, and that's a law that they had. But that doesn't fall under treat others how you want them to treat you, right? Do unto others as you want them to do to you. He says, I'm telling you, don't resist an evil person. Don't resist an evil person. Don't fight back. He says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. All right. So I'm in this fight. Well, but I can't fight like this. I'm a Christian. I don't know I'm in a fight yet. All of a sudden I get hit. Oh, I'm in a fight. What do I want that person to do to me? Well, it's not hit me again, right? So I can't do that to them. What do I want them to do? I want them to stand down. All right, so that's what I'm going to do. Does that teaching really work there? Does that really work? I don't know. Did it work for Jesus? When they put a nail in one hand and he offered him the other hand, did it work for him? We might say, no, it didn't. He died. Who holds the power of death? I don't have to fight these battles. I can let God fight them. I would rather be raised up by God than raised up by my own strength. Because my strength's only going to go so far. Jesus says, this is how we live. And I'm going to show you this is how we live in this kingdom. And he does that completely, to the fullest, all the way to the end. And he comes out on top. Because God is the one who gives life. God is the one who rewards. He goes on to say, if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak. Give him more than they ask for. If they force you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Right? If someone asks for you something, just give it to them. Right? Let God bless you. Let God be the one to maintain you and sustain you. And just give. Because this is what I'm going to do to you, for you. I'm not going to stop giving. I'm going to give until there's nothing left to give. And that's what Jesus does for us. And he asks us to do the same because he's the king and he shows us those in his kingdom how to live. He says, the rule is, the law is love your neighbor and hate your enemy. We're taking it further. We're going to love our neighbor and we're going to love our enemy. We're going to love our enemy. You see, we have all been enemies of Jesus Christ. And aren't we glad that he followed the golden rule? Right? Because if Jesus did not, if there was anyone who didn't have to do that, I think it's Jesus. But he says, I'm going to love you even as you're my enemy. And if he, our king, can do that, why can't we? What am I trying to hold on to when I have to hold hatred into people who I don't agree with or who I'm opposed to? What am I gaining by doing that? Why can't I trust Jesus when he says, hey, live this way? If you want to keep living that way, I mean, okay, but this is what's going to happen. I'm warning you. Maybe he says it a little sterner than that, right? But live this way and see what happens. And so I can attempt to take steps in the direction of loving my enemy and let God handle those things. Pray for those who persecute you. He goes on to talk about giving to the needy, right? We like to talk about giving to the needy. It's a common thing. You know, it happens in our churches. It happens in schools and our businesses. We give to the needy. And I all of that is good. And you know, we need to continue to contribute and be a part of that. But I think as Christians, we ought to go a step further, right? A step further. Giving without touching limits what God wants to do with us. If I give without ever coming into contact with, right, I'm not allowing God to truly work in my life. Jesus left the highest place to come down to the lowest place. He didn't write a divine check and send it to earth and said, here, I hope that helps. I'll keep praying. He came down and said, I'll walk with you. I'll carry that for you. I'll take this on for you. That's how our king lives. That's the footsteps we follow. Let's give and get dirty while giving. Let's humble ourselves. Let's get meek. Let's give of our tunic. Let's give beyond our excess and give until it hurts. Because that's what our king does. And we're going to know, we trust in the promises of Jesus Christ. And if he's telling us to live this way, we got to trust it's better than the alternative. Right? He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I'm going to skip through these here a little bit. Don't worry. You know, I could spend the whole afternoon preaching about not worrying, right? But he says, don't worry. Trust me, I got this. And then he says in chapter 7, don't judge others or you too will be judged. And here's, as I say all of this, right? My job is here to bring the word, to preach. And I hope you don't hear judgment. Because I'm called to not judge you, and I hope I'm not judging, right? And I hope you're not judging me. We're called to encourage and to spur one another on and to hold each other accountable. But I'm not called to judge in the sense. Now, within the church, I think we do have a level of judgment that we can bring. But we should judge and what Jesus goes on to talk about. Who am I listening to? Who am I following? Look at their fruit. Look at how they live. Do you think that if Jesus came here, he would look like that? Would he be doing the things that this person or these people are doing? Or would he be doing the other? This is a way in which we can judge, right? But not in the sense of what it says here. Don't judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You're going to encounter people who are not where you are at spiritually. You're going to encounter those. And our goal is to not necessarily judge them and condemn them, but to encourage them, to teach, to show, to model, to love. This is what we're called to do. So now, Jesus says a lot more in there. And again, I encourage you to go back and read it and not read it from the perspective of Jesus telling them, but Jesus telling you as you read it, right? And so he says in verse 24 of chapter 7, everyone who hears these words of mine, what I've been speaking, everyone who hears them and puts them into practice, does them, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. This is very similar to what he was saying to the Israelites in the Old Testament. All right, if you follow these laws, you know, you'll be blessed. You'll have what you need. Your life will be secure. And if you don't, it won't be. He says, if you put these words of mine into practice, it's like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. That's those who do what Jesus says. That's not those who listen to what Jesus said. That's not those who memorized what Jesus said. That's not those who teach what Jesus said. It's those that do what Jesus said. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, they are on a wide road going to contractors who build homes with foundations on sand. That's who they are. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Verse 28 says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed. They were amazed for one reason in particular here, right? It's because he's taught as one who had authority. But I think they're also, I would imagine if I was there, I'm amazed because what Jesus is saying really is difficult. And the expectations, man, this is pretty high. Would we not expect the God of the universe to have high standards? You know? We're so caught in living in a world, living in a life that we're used to, where we may have low expectations, that it might even seem normal. And here comes God saying, let me show you the divine way to live. Yeah, I hope it shakes up what I've been doing. I hope it's better than what I've been doing. Because if God's way matches up with mankind's way, I don't know how great that God is. But God's way comes in and says, yeah, that's not good enough. And that's only going to get you so far. Or it's actually going to hurt you. This is how I want you to live. Do you trust me? Do you truly believe, Jesus says, that I'm the one who brings salvation? Then if so, show it with your fruit. Show it with how you live. They taught as they were amazed because Jesus taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Their being amazed at Jesus' words does not grant them salvation, does not grant them entrance into the kingdom. You may be amazed or you may not be amazed. It only matters if you do it or not. Does your life bear the fruit of a follower of Jesus Christ? I want to look at your life and say, that is a follower of Jesus. I want you to look at my life and say, that guy is trying his best to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. It shines a light in this world, and it teaches others. And it brings me into walking side by side with Jesus. Right? It takes me to a place that I'm not going to get otherwise. Here's the thing, though. You don't truly know it. You don't truly sense it. You don't truly fully. You don't fully understand it until you are walking it. That's it. Start practicing Christianity. Start practicing the words of Jesus to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And know, you'll be able to know, to lay your head on your pillow at night. Right? When you find yourself alone with your thoughts and your thinking, to know that you are in the kingdom. No more questions. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Where am I going when I die? When I'm walking side by side with Jesus, I know I'm in the kingdom and I can take comfort in that. Right? Your invitation this morning. If you have not given your life to Christ, you can start by confessing who He is and being baptized. Begin the journey of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Following along. If you haven't been, maybe you're saved. Maybe, you know, you've given your life to Jesus, but you've kind of just stayed there and you keep living the world's way and you want to stop and you want the help of this church. You want the prayers of the congregation here. All right? We'd love to walk alongside you as we do our best to try to follow Jesus. But that invitation is extended to you this morning. Come down while we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His